You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM radio, and the program you're listening to is The Voice of a People with Linda Sims live. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You have the opportunity to download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. I have a thought for you today. The best way for a person to have happy thoughts is to count his blessings and not his cash. Why is that? Because blessings never run out, but your cash might.
That's good.
And you don't want to depend on that because it's fleeting. Okay. Now, let me also share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with VITM, Bishop J.C. Church, at 485 State Route 4, South Bucyrus, Ohio. Telephone number there is 419-563-9565. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 309 Suite 8 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. And they have an ongoing announcement, and it is every second Saturday of every month, which is this Saturday, those of you who are listening, at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, and that time is from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. No appointment or pre-registration or paperwork required. All you need to do is show up, provide your name and number of people in your household. So mark your calendars. Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company. Home Inspection Company with 25 years of experience working for you in LaRue, Ohio. And the telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And now I will turn my attention to my guest for today. And I have with me pastor and co-pastor, along with his lovely wife, Megan Ann Anderson. She is absent today, but they do co-pastor together at the Gathering
right.
Place here in Marion, Ohio. The address there is 1300 Mount Vernon Avenue. How are you today?
I am doing fantastic. It is always a joy to be with you, Minister Linda.
Thank you so much, so much. And he have with him Shannon Daly. He is the author of Dirt Road to Smooth Pavement.
Thank you so much, Shannon, for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm excited to have you both here. And I know this has a lot to do with Father's Day and what you have planned at your church.
Yep.
And this is your lifelong friend or?
Well, this is an individual that I met through a friend of mine. They came to one of our service. Okay. And Shannon and I were just hanging out. And the Lord just put in my heart that he needs to come and speak at Father's Day. And I know why now, after getting to know him.
Yes.
A tremendous heart for the things of God, a family man. And yes. Hopefully today, as he shares just some of his stories, you can see the grace of God that is on his life.
Right.
And the favor of God. So anytime I can be around men who are graced by God,
that's
and
true,
favored by God,
mm-hmm,
oh, I'm hanging around with them. So it's such a joy to know Shannon.
Wow.
Which makes us lifelong friends.
Yeah,
there you go.
Long friends.
Yes.
Always knew each other, but just didn't know that, right?
That's right.
You have
that's
something
right
in common. And that's wonderful. And your Shannon, your book, Dirt Road to Smooth Pavement. Just give us a little bio about yourself, please.
Yes, ma'am. The best way to describe this book is really a journey about my life as a person who just made a series of choices.
Hmm.
Those choices had great impact and also significantly poor impact. I started off as a kid coming out of high school, selling drugs for several years, and I ended up getting a felony conviction. Went to college, dropped out, and after which I actually got a second felony conviction. And it was just one of those things where I let my life to live contradictory to what my parents raised me up to do. Mm-hmm. They raised me in a good environment. To this day, my parents are still married. I mean, 50-something years of marriage. They still have the same household. So it wasn't that I was raised in a bad environment.
Right.
And this is all I knew. It was a choice that I made.
Right.
And so because of those choices, it just kind of led me to a place of despair. You know, as a man and also living in deception, because my parents had no idea the activity that I was involved in. They just thought I was hardworking and trying to make amends for dropping out of school and kind of making some mistakes. But they didn't really know how far gone I was.
Okay.
So with that, this book really just talks about the shift from making these poor choices, living in a world system, to turning it around, you know, finding God in my life, and also at the same time, finding employment. Mm-hmm. One of the things I talk about today is employment for a ex-felon like myself is normalcy. And when you're living in the streets, it's abnormal.
Right.
So to get out of the streets and find work and actually wait a whole week to get a paycheck, that's normalcy for us.
So you feel like there was really nothing missing out of your life. You grew up in a home with a mother and a father who was married and happily married.
Yes.
But there was something else that you wanted?
Absolutely. And it's kind of like the Adam story. You know, Adam had it all.
But
Eve said, hey, take a bite.
Yeah.
Right. Out of all the things. Yes. He could have slapped that thing out of her hand. I mean, but at some point he was curious. And I think for all of us at some point, whether we partake it in our mind or physically live it out,
that's good.
We're curious about certain things of this life. And for me, I just had to realize what I was partaking was just absolutely far from what I was ever raised to think and believe.
Yeah. Okay. And I think, too, as men, that is magnified 100-fold.
Oh, yeah.
Not minimizing the challenges that females go through by any stretch of imagination. But just
you're the
men,
head, right? You're the
that's
head,
right.
The leader.
That's right. Okay. And trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. And I read this quote that just talked about how men in their 40s are still trying to figure out, do I got what it takes?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I mean? I remember when I would play basketball, and it was interesting when no girls were around, we were just playing ball. When they showed up, our chest was puffed out. You know what I mean? Now I'm doing 360 dunk, try stuff I couldn't try before. You know what I'm saying? Because the ladies are around.
Right.
So just to add to what Shannon was saying, the choices we make, especially men, and we desire to speak to that, to speak to the greatness inside of them, not to condemn them.
Right.
They're already doing that on their own. Yeah. They don't need anybody else to help them with that.
That's true.
We're trying to pull out of them what we know that God has put inside of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that Shannon speaks to that, like I said earlier, that grace and that favor. You know, that everybody needs, whether you come from the streets or you come with a silver spoon in your mouth.
Right.
You
right.
still need, as men, that grace and favor of God.
And you still have to make a choice.
Absolutely.
So whether you were brought up in a church all your life or lived in the hood all your life, it doesn't matter. You still have to make a choice to either live in that environment or change it.
Right.
Correct.
That's true. I'm listening to you too, I think maybe a lot of women don't even understand that. The struggle
Absolutely.
That a man really has.
Absolutely.
As far as being that male role model, period.
Right.
You know, whether you're married or single, but just being that male role model, and that you do need that help me.
Right.
Even as a friend.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
I can identify with that 100% because a lot of times I think the ladies, they see it. They just don't know what to say, so it doesn't
Oh, that's good.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Walking on eggshells.
Like, you got to want to discover it without your help.
Yes.
Yes. But you know you're right.
Right.
I just need to figure it out myself.
Right.
And I think once they understand it, then they, because I'm one, my wife will tell you, I'm an apologetic.
Right.
Honey, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, you're right.
Yes.
Honey, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I have to fall a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, she wants to kind of be my rescuer in a sense, that she wants to protect me because she's like, Shannon, you about to, and there I go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think even with our kids, men, young, old, it doesn't matter. They know that the choices they make is going to have a consequence. And then when you have a helpmate that's actually speaking that to you, you know they're right.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of want to figure it out yourself. And so, therefore, I think the ladies can identify that the men help. But I just think that the man is trying to identify the way they want to be helped. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the disconnect.
I think so too. I think so too. Because I hear men say, I don't want nobody telling me what to do. Well, I'm not trying to tell you. It's just a suggestion, right?
Right.
And
right.
sometimes you have to lead with that. It's right. just a suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm right. really trying to tell you what to do.
Yep.
You don't even have to do it if you don't want to.
But you know the funny
to.
Part is, and I know you, Pastor, you could probably attest to this. We'll do it.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe not right that moment, absolutely. But we'll do it.
We got to get our pride out of the way, you know? So we got to, yeah, we oh really got to get that.
That pride is terrible.
It is. And wow. and for a male, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. And right. so, you know, we are dealing with internal things. Again, can we measure up?
Right.
And whose measurement are we going to believe?
Right.
You know, I remember when I was doing a wedding for my sister-in-law, and they told me to send the measurement to them. They were making an outfit for me, and I gave them the measurement. Somehow there was some confusion in the measurement from when I told them here, whether it was because of the metrics of Canada versus United mm-hmm. States, whatever. But when I went to try the outfit on, it was so big, and it was because they were using the wrong measurement.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is now that we have people that's trying to measure a man using world systems, using things of you know, that doesn't line up.
Right.
And men have bought into that, which again goes back to what Shannon was saying. They think they're powerless to choose. I can't, this is not mm-hmm. my choice. And at mm-hmm. the end of the day, it really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is your choice. You got to own that,
yep.
you know, as a man, you have to own that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're suggesting is don't follow the measurements of the world system. For some reason, or someone's lied to you, and we're here to tell you, don't empower the liar. Don't right. don't believe the lie because yeah. you empower the liar.
Yeah. Right.
And men need to know the truth. They really right. do. And they'll get there, but they want to know right. the truth,
absolutely.
You know, is what I believe.
So, Shannon, why did you think it was so important to write this book?
Because I lived in 7 years of fear. Fear that this message would get out, fear that I'm not capable of being a writer, I'm not an author, I'm not eloquent enough to speak, kind of like the Moses thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get beyond myself and find that spiritual aspect of who I am and realize that beyond me, there are thousands of people who need to hear this message mm-hmm. and not spend so many years like I did trying to figure out how to change.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When that change is right in front of you, you're thinking, I got a long ways to go, mm-hmm. which is why I titled it Dirt Road to Smooth Pavement, because I really thought it was just this long road.
Yeah. Mm.
But really, it's a short distance between me and change.
Yeah, that's a powerful word, too.
Yeah.
And you talk about back in the day. How is that so? And I know, I don't know how old you are, but I know we're in a new era today. And how does that compare with today we're living in?
Well, you know, the interesting thing about being a felon or a former felon, it's still current.
Mm-hmm.
We have more guys that are locked up over the silliest things because of their choices.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it doesn't matter. Felony is a felony.
Right.
And therefore, that mindset is still today. I mean, think about how current the Bible is right now.
Right now.
After 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
The word is still the word, but the behavior is still there, too.
Mm.
So that choice between living in the world system or living in the kingdom system is still viable.
Yeah. Right.
So even back in the day, I had a choice just like I have a choice today. You know, I probably couldn't do it like I used to, but if I were to try to insert myself back into that past behavior, sure, I might make it for a little while, but it's just a matter of time before I come back to another choice.
True.
Do I want to continue to live this way or live the way I know how?
Right, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, now you're not the same man.
Yes, definitely a new creature. I made sure once that old man is dead.
And those things may cross your mind sometimes, and I've noticed that even in my own life. Some
yeah.
things may cross my mind, but
sure.
then, you know, some of them may even be tempting to a certain extent, but
absolutely.
You're like, I'm not that woman anymore. I'm just not there anymore,
right.
you know,
yeah.
mentally. So you're definitely talking about a change.
Absolutely.
And part of that is to really understand the concept of freedom
yeah.
yes.
that you find in Christ.
Yeah.
You didn't find religion.
No.
Run away from religion.
Yes.
What happened is that and you didn't find God because God wasn't lost.
True.
What I believe is that finally the man has says, you know what, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to a place of where he says, enough is enough, and he cries out for help. Sometimes they cry for help when they're incarcerated, but how many other men are crying out for help right now
yeah.
that we're missing?
Yeah.
because they don't fit some of the stereotype or just right. some of the things that are there. And what we believe that we're called to do is to hear those cries of the men who are saying, please help me. You know, I want to be a great father.
Yes.
I want to be, you know, a better son. I want to improve my life. Mm-hmm. But there's an enemy that's pursuing me. And so we can name those enemies.
Yeah.
Some of those enemies are failure. They don't understand that you fail, but you're not a failure.
That's
so
right.
I made a choice.
Yeah.
Let's even go deeper. Biblically, I sinned.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at with Adam again, here comes this loving God that's pursuing him.
Yeah. Yes.
And so here it was now that I believe this is the first thing, and Shannon can speak to this, I believe, is the men who are crying out for help are men who are saying, I'm being pursued by failure. You're good for nothing. I'm being pursued by my father left. Whatever that enemy is, you want to label that enemy,
right.
It's pursuing these men. And for some of them, it's breathing down their necks.
Amen.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're just one step ahead. And the men who make those decisions for destructions is because they got to a place where I just can't run anymore.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they gave into it. And so I call this a pursued man without a plan.
Right.
Is a dangerous individual.
Right.
Not vulnerable. We want to get them to a place of vulnerability.
Absolutely.
Of saying, I can't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, what plan can we give to man? God's already established. It's called the plan of salvation. That's why it's called the plan of salvation.
Right. So
he had a plan. And so that's what it's saying. The enemy's pursuing you, but God's like, guess what? I'm always a step ahead of that enemy. Mm-hmm. Whatever you label as the enemy, men, that is causing you to have hang-ups and heartaches.
That's good.
God wants to know he has a plan.
He has a plan.
It's called the plan of salvation. Right. And so, Shannon, you know, how did you come up with the plan that God had for you? What was it that caused you to, you know, make that shift? Because there are people listening right now that's saying,
"Yeah,
I don't know how to make this shift."
Right, and he says in his chapter, "Didn't see it coming."
Yeah.
Well, let's go here. After the second felony conviction, let's go back. God is in my heart.
Okay.
Okay. So, at a young age, about 13 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Right.
So therefore, me and the Father were one.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what I physically do or think, we're still one. So when I was out in the streets running around doing my thing after the second felony conviction, I was probably about 20 years old or so. And I just knew that I knew I need to stop. I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. It's
what
I'm really saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't gone to church in years at this point. But I just knew the Holy Spirit was in that Cadillac sitting there saying, Shannon, you're going to die.
Come on.
Wow.
You need to get out of this thing.
Come on.
You need to stop this destructive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So that change came about because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go.
Right.
In spite of all the sin and all the things that I had purposely inserted myself into, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say that we turn our back on God, he doesn't turn his back on us.
Absolutely.
Because he's there in the thick of it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I was at a point where I was in fear and I was doing drugs to mask the fear so I can go out and sell more drugs because I had no idea if I was going to make it the next night or the next day.
Wow.
But yet, in spite of all that, the Holy Spirit was right there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that change came because I knew that God was pursuing me and he was telling me to get out of the game. He was telling me to stop. He was telling me to go a different direction.
Right.
So it got to a point I got tired of hearing myself say I need to stop.
Okay.
To the point I just said, this is it. So as you read into the book, you'll discover after that second felony conviction, I kind of gave up and just said, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I sell another drug. I don't care if people just lose faith in who I was in the streets.
Right.
I just want it out. I wanted to be free, and it was more so just saying I want to reconnect to that very thing that I was when I was at 13 years old, accepting Jesus.
Now, you talked about a lot of peer pressure, about people's opinion of you in
the
street.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The people you hang with, the people you did crime with,
yes.
You know.
Right.
And that's where a lot of young men are.
Big time.
Yeah.
Their pride.
Yeah.
I got to look like this big guy. You know, I got to continue to do what I'm doing because my dudes or my boys looking at me. You know what I'm saying?
And if I can speak to that, excellent way that you said that, Minister Linda, because one of the things that inflates pride is praise.
Yeah.
If you see the origin of pride word comes from. It's who was assigned to lead worship.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, and this is the second thing I with men, is that the praise of men is not always a safe place. Mm-hmm. When the fellas are telling them, you got this, man, right. And they're stroking your ego, they're stroking your pride, that's like some helium going into that balloon called pride. And so we think, oh, we must got it together, how many girls you got, how much, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
And for some men, that's the only praise they've ever heard.
Yep.
That's the only praise. They didn't get it from their dad. Wow. They didn't get it from anybody else. But when they're with their boys, the guys who are going to die for them, and they're saying, you're the man, that's a tough place to be because it's not a safe place.
And that's a false sense of intimacy.
It really is. It really is. And that's where men, in that place of vulnerability, that's where they got to get to, is where they're vulnerable.
Right.
And they're saying, I just can't do this anymore. I'm not going to listen to the praise of these guys. You know, I'm going to want to hear the affirmation from the Father.
Absolutely. Right. And that's what God
and
says.
That's
what
it really, yeah.
If you toil or tarry for men's praise, then you already have your reward.
Right.
Yeah.
Right here on earth, you know.
And it doesn't remove the need to be affirmed.
No.
We're going to get to that. Men need to be affirmed.
Right.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What we're saying is, look where the affirmation is coming from.
Yeah.
It's got to come from the source, the Creator, who's been pursuing you anyways.
That's it.
More than my wife, who I love dearly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
More than my children, who I'm just honored that I can, you know, parent them. It's got to come from God.
Yeah.
And not because we're teaching religion.
Yeah.
We're talking about a relationship.
A relationship.
Wow. That men are seeking after, that intimacy.
Right. Absolutely.
And you hear when Shannon opened up to that, his life was just transformed.
I bet he didn't even realize you had a relationship with God, did you?
I did not. In fact, before I got saved, I was actually brought up in a religious church.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was about deeds.
Yeah.
You know,
if
you do the right thing, you go to heaven. You know?
Right.
If you don't slap somebody, you're a good person.
Right.
You know, so when I got saved, it introduced me to a relationship. Mm-hmm. So before, the deeds taught me there's a deity. There is a God.
Ooh, that's good.
There's something bigger than me.
That's good.
But then salvation taught me there's a relationship.
Yeah.
And then from there, I got that tug from the enemy to kind of be inquisitive.
Yeah.
I want to inquire what's out there. And then coming full circle back to salvation again, well, I shouldn't even say again, coming back to my true nature, which is my spirit man, I realized that's what I've been craving for all along.
Right.
I was accepting that falsehood or that sense of hope that, man, my boys are going to pump me up, come making all this money. Look at this. Look at that. And those things were so empty.
Yeah.
Because every night I went back to emptiness. And that's where the drugs came in to quiet those voices.
Right.
Those enemy, those demons that was trying to tell me.
Yes.
The type of person I think I should be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So go do it more. Don't go do it grander. Don't do it bigger.
Right.
And so after that felt that second conviction, I just got tired of it because I knew that the drugs was going to do it. The girls was going to do it. The boys' affirmation was going to do it. I needed something more.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the and to your point, I had no idea that's what I was craving at that time.
No.
But the truth of the matter is, every single one of us craves that same thing.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow. Whether we identify it or see it or not, God is calling us.
Mm-hmm.
He is tugging
us.
It's just whether we're listening to his voice or the voice of your boys or whomever else is an influence in your life to make that decision to either go to him or to go to them.
Right.
And I believe they do hear it, but they don't obey.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because it was an image thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
They don't obey. They hear it.
But I think, though, men who are vulnerable, it's a scary place to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, letting you in, you know, and I would tell my wife this. There was a season in my life where I was like, honey, I have this secret world, and I don't let anybody in that place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think it goes again to the point of where I'm good at pretending. Oh, give me an Oscar award. I'm good at pretending. You can, no, men know how to pretend. I'm telling you right now. Yeah, men know how to pretend. We know the lyrics.
Yeah.
Growing up, I knew how to get a girl. I mean, it was, we know how to be Casanova. We know how to be pimp. I mean, we know how to pretend.
Yeah, we played the role.
Come on now. You know what I mean? Ladies, we know how to pretend. You think you got us? Now, we're already three steps ahead of you. Three steps ahead of you. And so we know how to pretend.
Right.
And so that's just our defense mechanism.
Yeah.
That's our saying, I can't let you in. What are you going to think about me?
Yeah.
And that's really a place of vulnerability. And only God can get you there. Mm-hmm. Only God can get you there. As much as you're loved by your children, and you can keep doing things, you keep doing things, but until you get to that place, that's Jacob. Jacob was so wanted the affirmation, another person in the Bible, that even connecting with his wife and with Leah and passing it Rachel, he was trying to fill this emptiness. And as much as we saw the success from Jacob and the increase, once they got along with God, God said, stop pretending. You're still Jacob. Oh, yeah. I'm going to not call you Israel. Because when he asked them, it's interesting, even that word when he says, what's your name? When you pronounce that word in the Hebrew, it means it can sound like, what's your shame?
Oh, really?
So here it is now that God is calling Jacob and he says, hey, what's your name? Jacob says, what's my shame? He gives his name Jacob. Mm-hmm. Trickster, pretender, deceiver.
Okay.
God asked him again, no, what's your name? He said, I call you Israel. God called him what he was. Mm-hmm. He said, your name shall be, you shall be a prince.
Yeah.
You have nations inside of you. Stop. Because who was pursuing him? His brother.
Oh, yeah.
That was the enemy that was pursuing him. He had no plan. No. He thought he had his own. I'm going to send half this way, send the other. See, that's man. We know how to work things out, man. Come on now. We know the lyrics. Come on.
Right.
Your ability to move products called drugs. No, you bad. You know what I mean? That's an entrepreneur right there.
Yes, it is.
So we know how to pretend. Vulnerability comes in when we get to a place of where God is saying, you can't hide from me anymore.
That's right.
And so to be open and vulnerable and to be truly intimate, not have sex. I'm talking about being intimate.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But there's a difference.
Huge difference. Huge difference.
Yes, it
and
is.
So God wants to bring us to a place of intimacy. And that book was birthed, I believe, when Shannon got into a place of intimacy.
Yes.
And when he recognized, you know what? It's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
It's about all the people that I can touch and impact. Oh. And here he is today still doing that. Again, go back to what I said originally. He walks in the grace and the favor of God. Mm-hmm. And there are men out there right now that don't think they're worthy of the grace of God.
That's right.
Don't think they're worthy of the favor of God.
Yeah.
They got an enemy who's breathing down their neck.
Yes.
Keep pretending. Keep pretending because that's the only place you're safe. And we're here to tell them that's a lie.
Right.
You have the choice.
Wow.
Use the ability you have given by God to make the choice to say, I want to be vulnerable before a holy God because it's a safe place to be.
That's strong.
And you will see your children will thank you for that.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Your wife, if you're married, will honor you for that and give you the respect you've always been looking for.
That's good.
We'll always
that
get it.
Good. Yeah.
We'll always get
good.
It. So,
real good.
Yeah. We are recording this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Play that back.
It's hard, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you say climbing the ladder, I wasn't going to choose that one, but when you talked about Jacob and he saw that ladder and the angels ascending and descending, he said, God is in this place, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So when you're out there doing your thing,
you
didn't know God was in that place with you, did you?
No.
They don't either. They think they out there on their own. They macho. They doing this and that. God right there.
Yeah.
Right.
He's right
you know,
there.
Right. When you look at that chapter, it really is after I left the streets behind.
Okay.
And I decided I want to be an honest person.
Right.
I just want to, for the sense of content, I want to be a normal citizen.
Mm.
I want to get a job.
Right.
I want to prove to my parents that they can be proud of their son because of all the lies that I've told, kind of like the Jacob thing there, to be the deceiver and the manipulator. So climbing the ladder was really, I knew that in me I had leadership capabilities. I just used it in all the wrong ways.
Oh, that's good.
Ways I was using it in
that's
the street.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
So when I found work, it was actually through a temp agency. The temp agency, from a temp agency to a permanent job to now growing a career.
Mm-hmm.
And I always knew that management was in me, sales was in me, but I just didn't know how it was going to come out of me.
Right.
And so that climb was being able to now send under people who I wanted to be in the position of one day. And listen to them on how to be a true employee or how to be a good manager or a supervisor or whatever it was. So what I found myself doing is going from this temp position, and I slowly found opportunities and doors opening within corporate America that I never thought would ever happen, especially to a guy who has a criminal record.
Right.
And so here, I used to be the guy on the one side of the desk applying for work. Now I'm the guy on the other side of the desk hiring people.
Come on.
To get work. And so when God put me in that position, I was able to instill and discipline and teach and mentor them how to get the job.
Right.
But not just get a job. Find your career. Find your purpose and grow that thing.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. So how many years did, or how much time did you spend in prison?
I didn't, thank goodness.
Really?
A lot of money.
I bet.
We spent a lot of money.
Because when you say felony, people,
yeah.
Okay,
yes, yeah. I have spent some time in a county, which is nothing like prison, but I tell you what, that was enough.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it was.
But yeah, I was fortunate enough not to spend time in prison. My convictions wasn't strong enough, I should say, to be imprisoned. But because of that, I had a heart for those who were incarcerated.
Right.
Because I knew it was like to be locked up and be taken away from an environment that was really superficial. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of that, my family members. Mm-hmm. Now they're starting to unveil, they're starting to reveal that Shannon is not the kid we thought he was. Mm-hmm. So the blinders came off.
Mm.
And so here I am sitting in this county jail, kind of embarrassed, wounded, hurt, ashamed, guilty. And what am I going to do next?
Right.
And therefore, there's a lot of guys in the prison system, correctional institutions, you name it. They're there wanting to change. Mm-hmm. They just don't know how to change for good without what my boy going to say, what my parents going to think, what my girl going to react like. Because some of them really rely on them to sell those drugs to support their means. But they're just using them.
Right. Yeah.
So for me, not being able to spend time in prison, I was still a prisoner mentally.
Mm.
I was still incarcerated in my mind, and that's where the drugs came in because I was trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, when I go into the prison systems and I do talk to guys and mentor with them, it's really not about the physical place. It's about your mind and your spirit.
Yes.
Because they're still in jail even if they're free.
That's good.
True. That's true.
That's good.
True. Mm-hmm. Yes, whether physically or mentally.
Right.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Right.
And I know you want to say something about King David, which is one of my favorite characters. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I believe strongly is where, and I mentioned this to the church on Sunday, the royals, you know, the royal family. And when I was reading about Prince Harry wanted to fight. Mm-hmm. See, in every side of men, there's this desire to fight.
Mm-hmm.
When a man loses his need or his urge to fight, that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he wanted to go fight, but they said, you're too valuable. You are a prize target for the enemy.
Yes.
That they would take all their resources
wow.
to come after you.
Mm-hmm.
And when a man finds his mission and he has a mindset to fight against the culture and the current that's pushing him back, he's fighting to get out of this drug life. He's fighting to get out of this poverty, whatever the fight is that he's doing to get out, he's prized.
Yeah.
Because the enemy says, hold on a second, he's making movement now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's moving to the cross.
Yeah.
And so what happens is David was in that place of where he was a prized man. Saul was after him, says, he's the only threat to my kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else. I wasn't worried about anybody because I've seen how David can fight.
Mm.
I've seen what that was. I saw him took down Goliath. He can fight against the enemies outside of me.
Right.
And David can also fight the enemies within me because when David played, the spirits that was tormenting Saul would leave.
That's right.
So internally, David was able to fight and externally, David was able to fight. And there are men out there right now that they've been equipped by God to fight internal battles and to fight external battles.
That's so good.
They're prized, right?
Right.
But they find themselves now running for so long, confused, don't know who they are because there's this warrior inside of them.
That's right.
But they're wounded.
Yeah. Yes.
And so David found himself now in this cave in a dark place, a prized man, in a dark place.
Yeah.
And yet people were still coming to him.
Yeah.
People are, because the gift inside of him was greater than the conflict on the outside.
Mm. Wow.
And so he finds himself in a dark place where things are developed, right?
Mm-hmm.
The old camera is not the new one now, but the old, you put him in a dark place, right?
Right.
And the person who knew what they were doing was able to bring the beauty, what they captured on film, what they captured through the lens. And that's what God does. He has this lens of our future. And he develops in the dark place. And so King David was just a prime example. I think for every man, outside of Jesus, King David is the sample, the template of a man after God's own heart.
Oh, yes.
Because that's what God said about him.
Yes, he did.
And so how many men right now, they're in a dark place,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know that they are prized, that the enemy is saying. And so with Prince Harry, we can't send you there because you will endanger the other men around you. Another quick story is with David, and David goes, I'm thirsty. And the men around him says, you can't go to fight. Mm-hmm. You're too valuable. Mm-hmm. So we'll go through the, because we know how to fight. Because mm-hmm. David, you took down Goliaths, and so we can take down Goliaths.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Good, so yes. Men, the gift that's inside of you, you start exercising that, man. You reproduce that in yourself.
Absolutely.
Saul never took down a giant. That's why he couldn't do it. You're he saying? Never took down a giant. But David was able to reproduce in other men. So they said, we're going to go through the front lines.
Wow.
Those are the men you want praise from.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Absolutely. Those are the men you want praise from. Not the men right. back in the in Gath. You want men who says, and they broke through the line and got him some water and brought it back for him. And those are the men that we need.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Men yes, who will say, I'll go through the enemy's territory for you. Because what are you thirsting for? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm about to preach up in this place. You know what I mean? Yeah. What are you thirsting for? And that's the question we're asking the men. What are you thirsting for?
Yeah.
Because outside of the refreshment that comes from the Word of God, it'll never satisfy you.
Wow. No, you're right.
We talk about the woman at the well. What about the men at the well?
Yeah.
That's thirsty. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. So that was the only point I was making with King David, is that I want to let men know you are a prize target because the enemy knows if you run to God, enemy knows he can't touch you.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so you're going to find yourself in dark places. And perhaps there's men who are listening now, you know, dark place.
Yep.
And that's why Father's and having Shannon come to speak at Father's Day, mm-hmm. he's going to be able, through the Word of God, bring light to your situation,
amen.
Both as a father, as a brother, mm-hmm. As a fellow believer,
yes.
you know, and the gift that's inside of him, I believe, is going to be deposited here in Marion and at the gathering place. Okay. But I believe it's going to be a deposit that's going to resonate amongst the men of the city. And we're coming after the men. Why? Because we love them.
Yes.
And their life has purpose and meaning.
Yes
they do. And they need to be in their rightful places.
They do.
You know?
They do.
And because do. We need them.
Correct.
So true.
The women need them. The children need them.
Yep.
And society
right.
so true.
Needs them.
Right.
You know, we don't need them to be hidden. And a lot of them are, like you said, they're shamed, they're hidden, and they're confused, they're hurt, they're wounded, you know. And
right.
their pride has just been walked on and just shattered. Some,
right. Absolutely.
Some young men, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's a hard place.
It is.
Challenging place to be.
Yeah.
A challenging place to be. We see that with Elijah the prophet. And it's always comes from a place of success sometimes. It's not always the fail. See, we're talking about the men who feel like they failed and they're
mm-hmm.
failures.
Mm-hmm.
We want to speak to the men who've also have experienced success.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes. You know, the Shannon wants to speak to those individuals as well.
Mm-hmm.
The people who have experienced success. Because from the mountain of success, you have to go down to a valley again.
Well, you know, and coming to that point, success never ends. It's like revenge.
Mm.
It just never stops. You just look for the next goal to conquer. You look for the next opportunity to overcome.
Yep.
And you never find rest.
Oh, that's good.
Because
that's
you're
good.
Constantly trying to seek.
That's conquer, good.
You know, and yeah, it's just beyond being able to establish yourself as a person of influence in this earth. What about in heaven?
Oh, that's good.
How are you bringing heaven into this earth? Not just your natural senses and your natural finances and your natural opportunities, but how are you bringing heaven to influence those things? Because there is a place of rest for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows us to have the Holy Spirit do his work. So that work is no longer about seek and conquer.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
When Jesus fed the 5,000, he didn't decide on how many he was going to feed. My goal is to feed 5,000. He just said, "Pass, we're going to bless this thing. Right. Y'all sit down, break bread, let's do this."
Yeah.
And then they collected more than enough.
Yeah.
So therefore, if we have that type of mindset, we're not looking for a goal.
Right.
We're looking for an opportunity.
Right.
Wow.
That's powerful.
Wow.
Look
That's
for
good.
Opportunities, yes.
That is really good.
Writing down what I can.
I'm telling you. He's giving some great wisdom.
Yes.
Amen.
So this book that you have written,
yes,
God Inspired, what do you hope that the young men, boys, grown men, teenagers, you can even train up a child with this book here. What do you hope they will get from this?
Well, I'm going to go back to the beginning. Like I mentioned, that I never saw myself as a writer. I never saw myself as an author, a speaker, any of those things. And so I wrote this book in such a way where, number one, it's easy to read.
It is.
Because a lot of the people who are going to read this book are probably those who are imprisoned. But really, believe it or not, my market is the parent, the loved one, who is supporting that person behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to be a person of influence without having to say so.
Mm-hmm.
So by simply passing this book along to them, may hope break some of that fallow ground.
Yes.
So what I'm really hoping for this book to really do is just share, like I used to say in our corporate America world, best practices. Mm. How can you save 10 years of your life reading a book in 2 hours?
Ooh.
How can you apply some simple tools of what not to do so you can see what God can do?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can pick up just fragments of that from this book, I feel like I've done my job.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Because I spent many years, again, in fear and secrecy, just destroying so many lives and family because of my selfish greed.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could get someone to see that there is an option, there is a way out, then I hope that they will see this book and take it. Just like Pastor just said, men are usually not one to ask for help,
mm-hmm.
but true. If they read this book, they'll get it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
So therefore, they don't have to reach out. They could just reach in, right. Open it up, read it, accept it, and apply it. And I think that's the other piece about men. If I transcend for just a second to the men in the church, men, I keep hearing them say, I'm going to just wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm just going to trust God. No. God has equipped you to do something.
Yes.
So that waiting is actually fear.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
Because we're afraid to make a mistake. We're afraid to step out. We're afraid that we're going to be found out, or we're going to be ashamed or be put out on front. Whatever the terms you may use, God wants you there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the light on the hill, there's a reason why he's talking about the hill in the valley,
mm-hmm.
and it being covered and being revealed. Because he wants us in a place of vulnerability.
Right.
So therefore, this book will hopefully open up some vulnerability with the reader to say, man, I could relate to his situation.
Mm-hmm.
Or I dig where he's at. Whether you're behind bars, sitting at home, at a temp agency about to apply for work, wherever you're reading this book, I really hope, if anything, it just brings a sense of peace.
Right.
That there is choices, there is options, and someone, again, coming from a good home,
mm-hmm.
made a choice to run the streets for 6-7 years coming out of high school.
Right.
You can change, and that change is not down the road, it's right in front of you.
Right. They have options.
They have options.
There is a solution.
Yes, ma'am.
To the problem.
Yes, ma'am. Mm. And though I've been told so many times those solutions and those options, I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Which is why I wrote about it.
A lot of us don't want to, till we get to that point where we surrender and we cry out, Uncle, like, you
right.
know,
yeah,
the rest,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Holy
yeah.
Absolutely.
Like
yeah.
the Lord had to do Jacob.
You yeah.
know, he fought with him.
Yeah.
So who was he fighting? That was God he was fighting with. You know, he was right. just playing with him, but he yeah. tired him out.
Absolutely.
He brought him to a place where he surrendered.
Yes.
I give. Yep. I give up.
But, you know, yep. the biggest problem, I think, amongst our men, and this really is for everyone, but we're just talking men because of Father's Day.
Yeah.
The biggest fight we have is against ourselves.
Yes.
It's not the enemy.
Just
now, the enemy might be the puppet master.
Yeah.
Right.
You're just whispering.
Flesh,
yeah.
Yes.
But it's our choices that we are fighting with.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I've said our biggest enemy is our flesh.
Right. right.
Mm-hmm. It just is, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's there, and it's mm-hmm. our biggest enemy and our hardest right. fight.
Right. And I would like to share as well that for the men out there that are in their cave,
yeah.
their man cave, that Elijah was running and God says, I got 7,000 who have not bowed nor kissed this world system. So I'm speaking to all those men out there. It's time to get in the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
God has been developing you in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
It's time now to get to church.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I'm not talking a physical building. I'm talking about get to church,
yeah.
how God sees it. So this entire month, God started it with the first day in June on a Friday, and I was in Marion Correctional Institute speaking to men, and God reminded me, I'm about to move in this month on the hearts of men, and I started right here with men who are free but locked up.
Yes.
So you can tell those who are free they need to get, that there are people who are out in the world that are locked up
mm-hmm.
and God wants to be free, just yeah. like people who are locked up, incarcerated, but they are free.
Free.
Right.
And hopefully that came across the way I intended it to be. It's just, it's time that these men get out from the cave and get in the game.
Absolutely.
We need you.
Yes. Yes.
We need you. We need you to live.
Mm-hmm.
We need to love. And men, we need you to lead.
Yes.
That's absolutely. What it's about. This yes. entire month. Yes. And I believe that there is some male, some man who heard this session.
Absolutely.
That their life is being, they're coming out of the dark, transform and develop to be the warrior that God's called them to be.
Right where they are.
And and so on the 17th Father's Day when Shannon is here and men are bringing their children. And I want to encourage everyone, sons, daughters, get your fathers out, because I promise you the presence of God is there.
Right.
But Shannon walks in the grace and the favor of God. Mm-hmm. And I don't care. When I meet someone who walks in the grace and favor of God, I want to hear from them.
Right.
Amen. I want to hear from them. So.
And quickly, Shannon, tell them how they can get your book.
Yes, actually, there's a website called Live Daily. So my last name is D-A-I-L-E-Y, Live, L-I-V-E. So livedaily.com. If you go to that website, there's information about myself, but also options as far as different curriculums that I've put together that you can purchase. Also, it's available on Amazon, but the easiest way to go to livedaily.com.
That's great. That's wonderful. And I have so enjoyed both of you being here. It's been a joy. I've gotten some wisdom myself
right.
knowledge from you, because I do be around men.
That's
and,
right.
You know, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Schools
yeah.
and
yeah.
things like yeah. that. And it's something I can put in my hat and God can bring out later, at a later date. And I wish you well. I hope to be a part of Sunday service.
I'd
love to hear the message and the word.
We are excited.
I visit every now and then.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's an honor to be on this air with you.
Yeah.
I appreciate you inviting me. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So if we got 3 seconds, I want to let people know that Shannon's not only just an author, he's an equipper. So you can go to his website. It'll equip men that are looking for answers and help. And so I just want to give that shout out as well.
Well, thank you. And we are out of time. You have been listening to A Voice of a People. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.